Don Felder, thank you so much for taking my call. Can I just jump right into a few questions?
Absolutely. Feel free.
Awesome. Well, first of all, a big honor to be able to talk to you. As you know, and you probably hear this from everybody you talk to, it's we grew up with your music, we're growing old with your music, and we'll never let it go. So I guess my first question of all things is, let's talk about the show that's coming up. What part of the Eagles catalog do you play, and what part of it is all the rest of it just Don Felder and your singles and things you're doing now?
Well, you know, I was in the band for 27 years. I wrote songs with Don Henley, Glenn Frey. We made a lot of records together. We toured together. We worked shoulder to shoulder for many, many years. I feel that a lot of the work that I did and the songs that I wrote, co-wrote, and played key guitar parts on and things like that are great to play in the show. People really expect when they come to see my show to see and hear a lot of their favorite Eagles classics that they grew up with. You know, everything from Hotel California, Life in the Fast Lane, One of These Nights, Take It Easy. A lot of those songs are really embedded in people's lives. And so I like to have people dance, party, rock out, have a good time, and walk out of there feeling like they've just had, you know, a revisit back to their youth when they first heard those songs.
That is awesome, and I'm sure everybody who just is about to hear this interview is just going to go, yes, that's going to be awesome. Now, is there a full band with you? Are you going to do kind of an acoustic thing or a little of both?
No, there's a full band. I have some incredible players in my band, too, by the way. I have a bass player that's done, gosh, he's worked with Kenny Loggins and Christopher Cross and a ton of people, Richard Marks. My drummer is a guy that's worked with just about everybody in Nashville. Great, great, great player. He worked for a live drummer with Keith Urban for 6 years.
Yeah.
He's recorded with everybody, Rascal Flatts, Little Big Town, Brad Paisley, Sheryl Crow. These guys in my band are absolutely top-notch performers. My keyboard player is a guy that's been with Peter Frampton. He's worked with Billy Joel. He was worked on the road with Sting. I mean, really top-notch, high-quality musicians. So what you see in here is not what you're going to see in here at a band playing Eagles songs. You're going to see in here probably some of the greatest musicians and singers in the business around today. We have a great time. You'll see a remarkable energy on stage between us as a band, and it's contagious. It just spreads like wildfire through the audience. By the end of the night, everybody's up on their feet, dancing, having a great time, singing along, clapping their hands, and just walking out of the place feeling like they've had a really, really good night.
And I think one of the best memories people have of you and the Eagles is the fact of you and Joe Walsh trading licks on stage. We're going to see a lot of that kind of stuff, right?
Absolutely. I've got a great guitar player with me who's worked with, oh my Lord, where do I begin? This guy's played with just about everybody. He played with Kid Rock, Kenny Chesney, played with the queen of country music, Tanya Tucker. These guys are really top-notch performers. So when we throw stuff back and forth, nobody drops the ball. There's not a bad note or a out of tune pitch on anything, whether it's vocals or guitar part. It really is a treat to be able to have such amazing quality musicians playing and singing with me. We do Seven Bridges Road a cappella and acoustic guitars in the middle of it, and it is just stunning to hear these guys sing. I just can't tell you the thrill I get, goosebumps every night when we do that song a cappella. It gets a standing ovation every night. So
you're an accomplished musician yourself, but you've played with just about everybody. I started going through your bio today, and it's like the question should probably be, who haven't you played with that you'd like to play with?
You know, my last record that I released, I think in 2019, I got a bunch of my friends, from Mick Fleetwood to Slash to Peter Frampton to Sammy Hagar, on and on and on and on. Richie Sambora from Bon Jovi, tons and tons of people to come in and play on this record with me. It was so much fun having all that time together with all the people that I've known and played with and worked with and recorded with at one time or another, working on a project together. We actually spent more time telling jokes and having fun and laughing and catching up than it took to actually record the musical parts of it, which was wonderful. It was like a reunion of a bunch of people that I know for many years that I've known and worked with. So I'm proud to say that I've made a lot of great friends in this business and still enjoy playing with them.
And I'm going to take you back to Gainesville, Florida. Tom Petty was a student of yours?
Yeah, when I first started playing guitar, there was no music store in Gainesville. If you wanted to buy guitar strings, you had to go to the drugstore. And I could only afford to buy one string at a time. I couldn't afford to buy a whole pack of new strings, so when I broke a string, I'd go buy one string to replace it. That's all I could afford.
Oh, my.
So when the music store finally opened, when I was about 15, I made a deal with the music store that if I taught guitar there and the people that came in, that I sold them their guitars for their sons and daughters at Christmas and through their birthday parties and all that stuff, that they keep the money. But just give me store credit, and I can take that store credit and save up for 6 months and buy an amp, and I can save up for another 5 or 6 months and buy a guitar, and I can trade up because I grew up very, very poor. So anyway, this kid comes walking in one day, kind of a scrawny, buck-teeth, blonde, scraggly hair kid, and he wants to take guitar lessons. And it turns out to be little Tommy Petty. And he was playing bass in this little garage band, and he thought playing bass was just dumb. He wanted to be a front man and be able to play guitar and sing. So I started teaching him, you know, guitar, and went to 3 or 4 of their rehearsals and a couple of their shows. And they already had 2 guitar players that used to just flail artlessly. I mean, they'd plug in, turn up really loud, and just flail away at it. So I said, no, wait, stop. One of you guys play the rhythm. One of you guys don't play when Tom's singing. When he's not singing, you can play some notes or chords or something, but don't play when he's singing because it's too cluttered. So I kind of helped them arrange some of their stuff. And I remember standing next to these 2 really cute girls, not by coincidence, watching Tom play at this little teen time dance. And he would come out, and he had this long blonde hair, and he was flipping his hair and shaking it, snarling his lip. And he had a stage presence and a confidence that was unbelievable. He sold you on what he was doing before he even opened his mouth to start singing.
Wow.
These 2 girls, once he started singing, oh, my God, he's so great. Look, oh, isn't he great? And I went, well, yeah, but he kind of sounds like Bob Dylan a little bit, you know, and he's a little out of tune, you know. And so, but I don't mean to criticize him in any way.
He
became, you know, a legendary classic rock legend. And I'm proud to have had a small part in his career. The first time I ever realized that he was publicly announcing that I was one of his teachers, I was in London, and we were touring over there with the Eagles, and I picked up a London newspaper. I looked at the entertainment section. There's this little postage stamp picture of Tom in the article, so I thought, I'll read this. And he was in that article claiming that I was his guitar teacher. And I went, wow, okay, because I was in the Eagles, much bigger at that time. Their band was just starting. And it turned out that he blew right by me and went on to be a great, incredible songwriter and legendary artist. I'm proud to have shared a lot of our life and time together over the years.
If I can head back to the Eagles for a second, how proud are you that the Eagles' Greatest Hits album is the greatest selling album of all time and doesn't look like anything's ever going to pass it?
I never in literally a million lifetimes would I have imagined that that would happen. Just growing up as I grew up and, you know, living on a dirt road and starving on the streets in New York and moving to California with a U-Haul on the back of an old Volvo car with $500 in my pocket and getting here and knew one guy in California, Bernie Ledden, and to turn out to be part of something like that is just a blessing beyond anyone's imagination. But I never did any of that for the fame, for the accolades, for the money, for the women. Well, wait a minute. Maybe a little bit for the women. I'll be honest.
Maybe a little bit.
But I did it because I just loved playing music, and that's why I do it today. I love walking out on the stage and making people happy. It makes my heart swell to see everybody having a great time. That's why I did it in high school and why I've done it every year since.
So what are you going to be playing, a Gibson Les Paul? Because that's kind of been your thing, right?
I have a bunch of different guitars. I play Stratocasters. I play Taylor acoustic guitars on stage. I play Les Pauls. I play slide guitars. I think I changed 7 or 8 different guitars through this course of the show.
Oh.
And really, they have to sound like the solo for one of these nights was played on a Les Paul. I have to play it on a Les Paul to sound like that.
Makes
if it
sense.
Doesn't sound like that, it sounds like some guy at a bar playing. It just doesn't
okay.
sound the same, you know? I know what I used to make that record, so I want to sound and be as familiar with what people know and love and they've heard for 40-something years as I can be.
All right, I got to ask the one question. Did you ever think hell would freeze over and you guys would get back? Just asking.
You know, yes, there were a couple attempts prior to that to reunite, and it just wasn't the right time. There was still friction amongst a lot of people in the band, between Don and Glenn and between Glenn and I, and management was more concerned about, you know, how much money everybody was going to make. There was just problems, and finally all of that got laid to the wayside, and we managed to be in the same room playing on a version of Take It Easy with Travis Tritt. And that was really the one step that put everything back together, was being able to play together again. And, hey, that sounds good. We're doing good. Let's do this. It was really the biggest step towards reuniting and hell freezing over. Whether that ever happens again or not, I don't know.
Looking forward to you doing a follow-up to that 2019 album, American Rock and Roll, because I have a feeling you have a lot more rock and rollers who would love to join you in the studio.
Yep, I've got 7 tracks recorded and mixed and mastered now. I've got another 3 to 4 to write and finish producing, and I'm going to try to get it out before next spring.
Thank you so much, Don. I could probably spend hours asking you about the history of rock and roll, because it's kind of a who's who of that era that you're intermingled with all of them.
Well, that's an honor to hear. Thank you very much. And Gary, I hope you come down to the show so I can thank you personally for taking the time to do this.
Oh, you can be rest assured I'll be there at the stage. Thank you so much, Don.